And this is the thing, right? And this is the other thing that is really good. Like, we talk about music is so much better back then, or whatever the case may be. I know there's such thing as influence, right?
Yeah.
That's understandable. But to see kids, children, you know, young adults, teenagers at KISS concerts, and loving KISS, loving the music, it feels so much, you know, it gives them like chills, and they love to listen to Megadeth, or they love other bands like that. So the people still love this kind of music, right? It's not nostalgia for them.
No,
it's not nostalgia for them. So why can't you? And I'm more worried about this answer I'm going to give you is, why don't they give a new persona of KISS band? Don't call it, like, you can call it KISS, but it's totally new makeup, right? Car was the Fox, right? New ones. It's still live music. People still fucking love to go to it if they're good, of course. That's the risk. But I've got a feeling the only reason why they won't do that is because they're going to lose a lot more money.
That's the key. Exactly.
Correct.
Because,
and this is a shit way. Yeah.
If congratulations, Khan, you've won the grand prize.
And this is the thing. Now, what's more important to you, really? I mean, for 7-year-olds, money, because you've got a fucking shitload of it.
They don't care. That's why they keep charging more and more.
They've got a shitload of them.
Yeah.
Or literally leaving behind a fucking product that is, like, more than, you know, anything in the world.
So you're looking for is what you think is the right thing is, if you were in their shoes, you would accept not making as much money by... No, I know what you're saying. By having to pay etc., but leaving a legacy of something.
Legacy and a half, let's call it.
Yeah, that's what you're getting at. So if it was up to you, you would go with that idea because you think it's a cooler idea.
It's live music.
It's more integrity, etc.
Okay. And
whereas the Avatar thing is more of a money spinner.
Now, let me ask you both a question.
Yeah.
With the round of nostalgia and all the concerts of bands that are coming back here that, you know, we've seen 20 times before and are now well in their advanced years and obviously not turning in the same performances, have their concert tickets gone down?
No.
Dude, these guys, are you talking about KISS?
Not just KISS, anyone.
Sorry.
Dude, have the prices on their tickets gone down?
How much did we pay for front row? Literally, man, honestly. Like, the money is spent.
I paid the same for Iron Maiden next year. I'm paying the same amount or more than I paid the last time they were here.
Yeah, but, dude, we paid double what we paid for Iron Maiden for KISS. We paid double. We paid like nearly $400.
Did we?
Yeah, dude. We nearly paid $400 for a front row.
I don't remember.
$390 or $385.
Yeah, but to answer your question, part of it, I remember when, like you mentioned, when they first announced, you know, okay, farewell tour, whatever.
20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I remember going... And I thought, okay, great way to, you know, finish a legacy, etc.
No.
Great stuff. You know, let's enjoy it, go out with a bang, right? Obviously, you know what transpired. You know, multiple versions of the farewell
crowded
tour.
Crowded house, man. It's the crowded house effect. Yeah. I'll never go
on. But I remember saying, nah, I'm not going to the next tour because already... Said my goodbyes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then eventually, I think it was the one where they came with Motley Crue.
Yep.
When was that?
10 years ago.
That would have been good.
About 16?
I can't remember. Yeah,
no, maybe, 15? 16, 14?
Yeah, maybe around there.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go for the same reason, but my arm got twisted by some friends, and they happened to get some tickets. They go, come on, we're going to go. All right, let's go. I went, and to be honest, look, it was still good, but I could tell they have declined.
Oh.
And it backed my theory of... What you're trying to say now about, you know, artists that we knew, once they start getting past their prime, you know, at what point do you go, you know what, mate, just hang up the boots, mate. It's time. Just give it a rest.
But that's the point. Like, if they had musical integrity, they wouldn't be charging what they're charging for tours. They wouldn't be touring the way they're touring. They wouldn't be doing sellout stadiums. They'd be doing intimate, like, workshops.
Now, the bottom line is all they care about is dollars. And they would have done it for as long as possible. And going back to earlier in the show when we were talking, before Avatars and all that came out, you do remember Gene Simmons saying, I think we could probably... Well, he was even mentioning about the KISS 2.0 and ideas he was having, you know.
Yeah.
How can we exploit this so it can keep going, you know what I mean? And then obviously...
Without spending too much money.
Yeah, but back then that wasn't an option, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas now then when Avatars and things came out, his eyes would have lit up. He's going, man, we can do this and I don't even have to pay guys to do it. You know what I mean?
I'd have to leave the house. It's just his jocks.
That's the thing that disappoints us the most. It's the motives behind it.
Okay.
And we know, like you said, it's another grift.
When you think of, like, final, like, once-in-a-lifetime tours, right? I think of, like, 50 Cent, which just happened, because he said this is the farewell. This is the 20-year anniversary of my first debut album, and it's not going to happen. Like, this is the end, right?
Because
he's got other shit to worry about. Cool. Paid it. Saw it. Incredible. Guns N' Roses, 2017, not in this lifetime, yeah? The full band back together doing a gig.
Yeah.
I know Axl Rose's skills had declined, but apparently he'd been, like, just back in the studio and the workshops gearing up. And I thought, you know what? I've grown up listening to this band, never seen them live. I'll always miss them when they used to come to Melbourne.
Is that the G1?
Yeah. And the name of the tour was Not In This Lifetime.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. They're still touring as a full group.
Yeah, I know.
This is 6 years on.
I know.
6 years on.
Like, that was a terrible sound. I remember that? Yeah. They're still playing one song, but...
I'll give credit from what I saw, because, you know, you can tell the way they perform. They performed well, but it really pissed me off, the acoustics.
Yeah, the acoustics were shit.
That was shocking.
The performance was awesome,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Very good performance. I left happy.
Because I think he's a perfectionist.
Yeah,
that's why.
I saw the band that I grew up listening to. I'm like, sick. I've seen them.
Yeah,
I'm done.
100%. Yeah.
My god sister in Sydney asked me if I wanted to go to when they came, like, the following year. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'll make a trip of it. Like, we went to, you know, Queensland to watch KISS. Yeah, all right. I'll make a trip of it. And then it got postponed because of COVID. I think it was COVID.
Yeah, it would have been.
It just got postponed.
I think it was like 17.
And
then
they redid it. They re-announced it again. And then I was busy on that weekend. Like, just happened to be on a weekend. I had some commitments I couldn't get out of. So it was like, that was the end of it, right?
Yeah.
I never thought about going again. They toured, when was it? Not that long ago.
Not long ago. Maybe a few months.
Yeah, it was this year.
Yeah.
It was definitely this year. Yeah. But it's still the same group touring. What happened to the Not In This Lifetime?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
It's Not In This Lifetime, but it felt good and we got paid well. Let's keep doing it.
6 years later,
I
wouldn't go back to see him again. And then what I've seen from concert clips, I'm not missing anything either. Like, they've really declined.
And that's another question I've got for you guys.
Yeah, I'm like,
ooh, okay.
No, this is a good one.
Unlike the other ones.
A good one. What would you prefer to watch?
Yeah.
Not you.
Are you sure? KISS Alive 2 as a hologram or KISS tour that we went to?
As in
seeing it like a hologram, KISS Alive in full production of...
Versus the KISS tour that we actually saw.
Yeah. Spinner, huh?
Well, that's bringing up a whole new thing. It's like...
Well, with Hunt,
bringing,
like,
in other words, you're bringing to life, so to speak, you know, the KISS Alive.
Stage, the proper stage, a hologram of them, fireworks, the works from KISS Alive 2. Now, like, and then in front of you on a stage, or KISS what we saw.
Yeah, see, that's a bit different. That's like you're taking something that we all know. It's an event. It's obviously from a certain time. And rather than just being, you know, some video footage and obviously live.
You experience it, you're in it, yeah.
Right? They're enhancing it. It'll still be KISS Alive too, but you're now enhancing it into a modernized version of it, you know what I mean? You know, 3D, holographic, whatever.
With, but like, it's still with KISS 100% Alive too. Voice, like, not like. You're saying,
yeah,
like,
the decline.
Yeah, but
that's basically a modern interpretation of an event that happened, right?
Yeah.
Versus the, back to the KISS Avatar we're talking about, which would be a new digital version of KISS that has a life of its own, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But that's different.
Would you pay to watch, because I'm thinking about this, it'd be fucking cool, would you pay to watch a hologram version of Freddie Mercury live at Wembley?
Yeah, you know it's a
good example. I love how no one's answering this fucking question, though.
Yeah, I'm asking.
Yeah, but that's like when you take an old classic movie like Wizard of Oz in black and white, right? And then they give it to some skilled people,
like Pink Floyd,
and they colorize it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know,
it's
still
the
Pink
same
Floyd thing,
but they've given it some modernization. So what you're talking about is like doing that, but then taking it the next step, which instead of just taking a black and white film and colorizing it, you're now, you know, giving it some holographic or 3D effects as well. You know what I mean?
See,
it's along those lines. That's
how about
what you're
this
doing.
Now? Okay, another one. These new characters.
Wait, hang on.
New-
we haven't finished on this one yet. Hang on. Let me finish on this. Let me finish this. All right.
Go.
Reason why I brought up Freddie Mercury and U2, right? U2. Fucking, what's it called?
Wembley.
Yeah. Right? The reason why is because that's an iconic performance.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, of course.
Did you watch the biopic? Did you actually watch? What did you think?
I thought it was great.
I thought it was good. And I think the performance in that song, like in that Freddie Mercury bit, was fucking sick at Wembley.
I thought so too.
Oh, yeah?
Man, the pipes on that guy, man.
Yeah, like he did a really good job, man.
Yeah.
And well, you're comparing now, so what's his name?
Lambert.
Oh. No, he's taking up the guy in the biopic.
Yeah.
I forgot his name, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, Ramek, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Oh, the
actor. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He did a great job to the point where when they heard him in the studio, Brian May and everyone else got chills because they're like, Jesus, like he's come so close to like sounding how Freddie, like the inflictions and all that shit, right? I would pay to watch Freddie Mercury or hologram, like on a stage doing the Wembley performance with the original audio running. 100%. Because a hologram is semi-realistic, but it's him. It's still the digital, what do you call it? Digital capture, like motion capture of Freddie Mercury, right?
Yeah.
The reason why I can't physically get behind this Kiss 2 avatar shit is because they're transcending it to include like all types of stuff. Yeah. So like super effects and like, you know, mystical shit and like bat wings and all the other stuff, the demon elements. They're going to turn it into like animated movies, basically.
Yeah, it's a whole new thing.
They did kiss cartoons in like 80s and 70s, but they stopped them.
Yeah.
Now they're going to try and bring them back, essentially.
In this way.
It wasn't actually long ago that they did a Kiss cartoon.
I think a few other things we've brought up. You brought up Kiss Wembley. Sorry, Freddie Mercury at Wembley. You brought up Kiss Alive 2. Ivan brought up Wizard of Oz. We're talking about iconic things that everyone loved, right? And then either it's been done or we're suggesting, you know, giving it some new touches, you know, some modern enhancements.
Some flourishes.
But essentially, it's still the iconic thing.
It's the
thing
same
that
product.
We know,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just a modernization of it. Whereas this thing we're talking about, back to what we why we started this, Kiss Avatars is not that. Kiss Avatars is basically, you know, it's like they're taking Pinocchio and bringing him to life, and he's got a new life of his own. You know what I mean?
But this is going back to exactly what Gene Simmons said a few years ago, that rock is dead. This is why we're going back.
I don't agree with him even when he said it.
I know, but that's why he's saying, who has made it like they did? Like, when I say they, not just Kiss, I'm talking about, like...
Do you know who has?
Yeah.
Justin Bieber has.
I respect him for what he was. That you know,
I think
we
that's
grew
an
up out of
touch comment to make.
Yeah. When I heard that, I thought that was a load of shit, and I still think it's a load of shit.
You're telling me there aren't big artists the way
as
Kiss
much
were?
As we love our
Taylor
nostalgia
Swift.
Bands,
Taylor Swift,
but dude, fucking
yeah. But even in the
song,
even in the rock, forget the pop scene.
What's his name?
Go
man?
By what he said. He said rock is dead. Right?
He did say.
I've
that,
seen plenty of modern metal bands or rock bands.
Yeah.
That kick ass just as much, and forgive me for saying, even more so than he did, right?
Yeah.
And I've got no problem saying that, and I'll still listen to and buy their stuff and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a load of shit. Rock is dead, you know what I mean? Yes, it's not what it was. It's not like, I think we were lucky growing up in the 80s where that was like the peak of the heavy metal scene, and it was just everywhere.
Yeah, but you know what? Gene Simmons benefited
He's
from.
He's thinking of that.
Gene Simmons benefited from the fact that his band came out in the 70s.
Yeah. And went through the 80s and the 90s,
But when it first started, he was picketed against because they were satanic.
And
they
had I remember that.
Loose morals and all that shit.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
Nah.
Kiss isn't seen as a wild and immorally bankrupt band.
They're just
band.
A nostalgia band.
They're just
now.
A nostalgia band.
That's right.
Their boundaries that they pushed are nothing now. Like, it's, what are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, people walk around half nude now. Like, it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense? So he benefited from that by saying no one did it like us. Yeah, because you came out at the right time.
That's
if
right.
Kiss came out in 2023, no one would give a fuck.
Yeah.
As in, there may have been other bands that did corpse paint, like Dimmu Borgir or like whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or Cradle of Filth. Cradle of Filth were huge in the early 2000s. They had corpse paint as well, and they pushed boundaries because black metal was the thing in early 2000s. Yeah, like they were massive. Danny Filth was huge.
But they died pretty quickly.
Though. They died because of Danny Filth. Like, he's a malaka.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It's always that.
But that's what I'm saying, man.
But even like the song, like, I mean, even Post Malone is dabbling in like the scene as well, man. Like,
but
he always
did rock as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's there's always people that dabble in that for the shock factor, you know.
Yeah, but what is pop? Pop music is defined by what's in vogue. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
For the last 20 years, pop music has been...
popular music.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
For the last 20 years, production for pop music has generally been urban-based with dabbles in, like, different sounds, like pulling left and right, like a bit of synth wave, a bit of chopped and screwed, a bit of metal. Like, it all depends. But that is the definition of pop music. It's popular. Like, whatever is popular and in vogue defines the sound of that generation. When we were in the 90s, yeah, from Kurt Cobain in the early 90s, that killed glam metal... which dominated the scene with Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and all these bands, and then into like the late 90s when you had alternative metal, new metal, they dominated it. That was popular music, you know. And then in the mid 2000s, you had all the emo bands like Good Charlotte and what was the other pretty boys? What were they called? The name started with S. They had that song Me Against the World. It was such a fuck. What were they called? Simple Plan.
Yeah.
But, dude, you couldn't turn on Hoobastank, Maroon 5, all these bands, Sum 41.
I think metal at that time was bigger, so that's why, or hard rock was bigger at that time, the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, because that was the popular sound.
Correct.
But then disco came in and killed it for a period.
But he shouldn't be saying that rock is dead, because there's a lot of good bands out there that's probably doing better than them.
He's just...
Sorry, sing better songs than them.
He's just not invested.
But they're not as popular anymore.
How about we just think also he's just trying to be controversial.
Yeah. He's just not invested in this music scene as he was then, and he's just not seen someone doing the corpse paint.
This year, you know who we went to this year? Knotfest.
Oh, did you go?
Yeah.
Talk
about modern.
Yeah.
Mate, that was just mad. Everyone was going nuts.
Ginger as well. That was another one, actually.
Look, there's bands like that. There's Ginger, mate. There's some not so new, but, you know, Amon Amarth and all that.
I've seen them.
Mate.
I saw them in the mid-2000s.
That's all modern metal, you know. It's got nothing to do with 70s rock and Kiss and whatever. And they're huge. Not huge in the way that it was like in the 80s, but it's still huge amongst, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people.
The world touring.
You know what I mean?
I'll give you an example of a band that was controversial and had massive theater stage
Gojira,
presence.
Gojira, for example.
Rammstein.
Yeah.
Still going.
Production insane.
Production. They were known for their stage shows, like used to set himself on fire and like all types of shit.
Mm.
And their video clips are theatrical masterpieces,
man. They're singing like a lot of it in German too. Like
in the German,
yeah. And they still listen to it.
David Hasselhoff was the last person to tour like someone in German. You know what I mean?
Hey, remember Good Things Festival?
Yeah,
not the one that now the one no, we
the
went
one
to.
Before, yeah,
yeah. What was one of the biggest popular things on that day?
Oh, you're talking about Gojira again?
No, Gojira.
Oh, you're talking about...
Yeah, okay, think of it.
Oh, my God. That band.
Electric Callboy.
Electric Callboy. Fucking hell.
Electric who?
Callboy.
Take techno.
Dude, I've never seen...
Take techno.
And metal.
Mash it up with metal, like full-on metal.
Metalcore.
Metalcore. Put it together.
Dude,
and you've got Electric
like
Callboy.
Like the presence of people.
They are huge. Actually, they just toured here recently, Australian tour, sold out everywhere, and people were going nuts about it. They sold out, I think it was, you know, Port Melbourne, the Pika?
Port Melbourne? Where?
Have you been to Pika?
No.
PICA?
No, I've never heard of it.
No.
Yeah, it holds about...
You better say something good. It's like 600 people. 600. No. Massive show.
It's about 6,000 it holds.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, now we're talking about, you know, before you get to, say, Rod Laver and all that type of thing. Now, but don't forget, this is the first time they've done a full National Australian tour.
Literally, they came out.
They could have literally gone to Rod Laver and they would have sold it.
Did they come out this year or last year?
No, they came for... Was it?
No, sorry, let me rephrase that. When did they start?
Oh, as a band?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they've been together probably about 5 years or so.
But recently has been becoming popular.
Last 2-3 years is when they've gone.
So they're still new.
Huge.
They're still new.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. This thing that, and this comes back to what I was saying. Yeah, I love my nostalgia bands and everything. Yeah. But I love new metal. You know that too. You know, whether it's recent new metal, whether it's not so recent. But I love Gojira. I love Electric Callboy's Mad, you know, Ginger, all this stuff. This is fantastic. And that's why I never liked what he said when he said, Rack is dead. You know, that's just bullshit.
Think about one of the best performances of a band you've ever seen in live.
If I had to say, I'll tell you now, my number one?
Yeah.
Tool at Rod Laver Arena.
Tool, when?
Both times. Oh, mate, they just blew me away.
Just why? Just the technical presence or?
Everything.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we talk about the whole pinnacle of why you go to see a live band. For me, that was 100% what it was, because they've got stage presence, musically talented, like beyond, right? You know, even the visuals that come up, they've come up with this new stage presence, you know, they embrace some modern technology for the show and everything, but the actual performance of how they are and, you know, vocals, musicality, everything, just unbelievable. And I've seen a lot of live bands.
Yeah.
Some huge bands, some modern, some whatever. And for me, that was the best.
What about you?
If you say Kiss, no. And look, I'll have to exclude them.
Yeah. I get a pass in this conversation.
To be honest with you, I'll have to think of the most modern. I think Ginger at...
Max Watts?
No.
Oh, yeah, at the festival?
At the festival.
Yeah, that I saw was Ginger insane. At Max Watts. That was outstanding, yeah.
That was insane. Like, the vocals, the playing, it was just phenomenal. There was no...
We've seen some great stuff. Even Jeff Tate at Northcote. That was fantastic. You know what I mean? It was. Dude. It was insane.
Northcote.
And to be honest, I wasn't expecting much because given the history of what's been going on,
dude,
we thought, God, I hope he doesn't come out and he's just a train wreck. But he was sensational.
Dude, then I watched him again and there was even more better. You missed out on that one, but... Metal Church are playing it there tomorrow.
That's true.
I saw the poster for that. I died.
And our Metal mates, Church. A shout out to Elm Street, the opening for them.
Yes, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
It's funny, I've been to Northcote this year to watch Tech but 9.
Dude, metal, like, metal in Melbourne is huge, man.
Yeah. Look,
Melbourne's big with just music in general. Life performance. Yeah, man. Like, we eat it up, yeah?
Yeah.
Dude.
Reason why I ask is...
That was a big win, obviously, with this whole tote thing.
When I think of, like, the best performances I've ever seen up in the flesh, I think of, like, three gigs straight away. One, I've said this many times, the Corner Hotel, Nightwish, in 2004 or something,
they're
five.
G3 better be up there.
No, because Malmsteen wasn't there.
Oh,
it was Vi
right.
and Satch and Petrucci. And I wasn't the biggest Petrucci fan.
Don't say Petrucci like,
No, he's a decent guitarist. Don't get me wrong.
G3?
Yeah, I saw it in 2006.
Oh, you've seen G3 as well?
Yeah.
I've got the T-shirt
with the signatures. I met them all.
I went to the original one when they first brought it
out. Oh, yeah. That's mad.
Yeah.
So, Nightwish at the Corner, and this was with Tarja before she left the group.
Yeah.
And they were at the peak of their powers, and they played the Corner Hotel.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, the Corner's tiny, man.
Yeah.
It was the most intimate thing that I've been to.
I found another one. I remembered another
one. Right. Where you could feel like the energy of everyone was hanging off every single note that was being played.
Yeah.
And everyone was waiting for the crescendo when Tarja hit the high note right at the end. They would just build it. She hits it. The crowd erupts, man. Like, everyone's like losing it. No one left that place uninspired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still think about it. It gives me chills. Then I think about Eminem in 2001. when he first came down, full controversial, chainsaw, hockey mask, D12, before Proof died, before they split as a group, when he was still on gear, and he's come out with, like, the overalls. He's done all the old songs from the first and second albums, you know what I mean? And I was a teenager, I was 16, but I still remember it. Then I think about the fact that if Eminem came back, like, Eminem's touring soon, right? And people are saying, you're going to go, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, look, man, I was an old fan. I'm not really a new fan, right? Still respect the guy. Still like his music. But I'm just, I probably wouldn't pay $200 to go see him. Would I pay to see an Eminem avatar who has dabbled in animation and all that sort of shit? He's done series like that. He's done full, like, rotoscoped and, like, digital masking and stuff. Full, like, made himself an avatar at the start of his career. Would I pay to see him in, like, that kind of concert? Maybe reliving that era. Maybe that era as a hologram where it's, like, semi-realistic. Maybe. Would I see him as a new thrashed, like, Slim Shady character that does new concerts? No. I wouldn't, because I don't feel the energy.
Yeah.
It's soulless when you're watching an avatar on a screen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not totally, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, going back to the whole Avatar with Kiss.
The Kiss thing, yeah.
They didn't even say anything about them going to tour with this band, did they?
Well, I think, yeah, maybe.
It could be, to like, be honest, fucking a Netflix a episode 123 of Kiss New Era. Like, we don't know.
I think we're speculating a bit on where they're going to go with this. And I think part of it comes back to what we touched on about motivation. What motivated ABBA to do what they did? What motivated them to do the Tupac thing? What motivated or would motivate what you're talking about to get done?
Yeah.
And coming back to the Kiss one, because we know what they're like and what they're about, you know, we go, oh, all right, what are you going to rip us off with now? Yeah. You know, what's the new grift? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what sort of underlies what we're
thinking about. It's not musical integrity.
You know, that's right. It's not musical integrity because a lot of things that happen when people come up with a new show or a new idea or whatever, usually it is based on some creative integrity, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if this one, we know it's all based on dollars. What can I do now to make more dollars, you know?
Would you pay? This is I indirectly asked this before. Would you pay to watch a Kiss concert with them, right? Is in, like, hologram, digitally de-aged, all that sort of shit.
Yeah, not like them now.
Hang on.
Like them, that
yeah,
whole
not
thing.
Turned into, like, cartoonish avatars.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm talking about, like, as they are, as realistic as they could be, performing new songs. Would you pay to see that?
What's the difference between...
As in, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons wrote the songs. They are all them recorded it, everything. They all wrote the songs, performed them. They did it in a studio somewhere in LA. But
so they don't look like old farts in the flesh. You're talking about
if hang on.
De-age using that type of technology like they've done in the movies lately.
AI voice.
No.
I know what he's talking about.
It's actual
Gene and Paul, the band.
Yeah. They've written the songs.
Fuck yeah.
They might AI
but
the voice.
Enhance
the voice. They might enhance the voice, de-age it a bit, because, like, obviously, Stanley's voice is gone.
Fuck yeah, right? Fuck yeah, man. Easy.
Would you pay to see that as opposed to, like, an avatar doing cartoonish shit?
I would. It won't be the same. Dude, it won't be the same.
I'm part of the marketing team, yeah?
Dude, it won't be the same.
Listen to this again. Hey, that's not a bad idea.
it won't be the same, but it's way better than what it is, like, what it will be by the sounds of it.
I don't know what it's going to be.
So you're trying to compare, is this still
this song behind the music,
versus,
man,
is the other one more a far-fetched?
Yeah, but hang on. But like, it's like it's them writing the music or whoever. Like, whoever's doing the music, who is it Paul, is it Gene, whatever. It's them writing the music.
Okay. I think singing that would have more integrity.
I'll give you another example of, like, what you can compare it to. Think about the Disney Corporation right now. They've lost a lot of money because they all went woke. They tried to cram the agenda into all their movies, all their reimaginings, all their new projects, just cramming this woke agenda, which is so not Disney. Disney was built on traditional storylines, yeah? Prince, a damsel in distress, you know what I mean? Like, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Traditional gender roles. And whether you think they're wrong or right, whatever it is, but that's what they built their bread and butter on for the last 60, 70, 80 years.
More than that, man.
When did Disney come out?
I think they've hit 100 years now.
Have they hit 100?
Yeah, they've 100 something years.
So let's just look at that. They built their bread and butter and their fan base on nostalgia and traditional gender roles and stories. Dude, no one gives a shit about the new Disney movies because they're all just regurgitated crap. Or they're leaning in on sequels of and reimaginings of previous material, right?
Mm.
If KISS stray from, like, the formula and try to go cartoonish, it just becomes a parody of itself.
It just becomes a cartoon movie or a cartoon concert.
So what you're leaning towards is what they're going to do, are they going to do it something that people will, look at it and go, I think I like that, or are they going to jump the shark?
It's jumping
the
shark.
That's what you're thinking.
It's 100% jumping the shark, man, because no other band... And look, I'll give them credit to the fact they are marketable and they can... cross, boundaries, and they can cross platforms.
Yeah,
and they can
than other
reinvent.
Fans, that's 100%. Right,
that was their marketability.
They've probably got the biggest fan base ever. Like, you know that,
I'm not disputing that, right? Yeah. For 50 years, they've rocked and they've done it well, and they're still selling out arenas. 100%, I'll give them that, yeah? But to try and sell us a new product in this day and age that's just based on their old product, and just it literally becomes satire at that point.
Yeah.
It's just satire. Yeah. It's like, you don't. I would rather them hang up the profiles, the Starman, like all that shit, hang it up, recruit four new dudes, create four new characters in the same universe,
and
let them play a couple covers during the concert. Like, we all want to hear Love Gun.
Yeah.
We all want to hear Detroit Rock City. Fine, right? But create a new album with a new sound and all that and let that grow organically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they want to keep milking it, like, that's the thing. KISS is already immortal, like Shakespeare. Shakespeare didn't have a
KISS and Shakespeare in the same sentence.
Dude, welcome to the podcast, bro. Yeah. Okay?
He doesn't like where this is going.
I'm just making a point. Shakespeare is immortal. He never had garish avatars and all that sort of shit. He never had a marketing team.
He just
wrote his works and it just kept going through time. KISS will already be immortal with the songs they've written. Love Gun will stand forever in the echelon of the best rock songs of all time, whether you like it or not. Right? You don't need a garish avatar to live on after they're gone. That's the whole point. You create something so it etches its part in history and you move along.
Correct.
Those that are going to be inspired are going to be inspired. Those that choose to remember will remember, and it'll always be tributes. They're still doing Shakespeare in the Park. You know what I mean?
Shakespeare in Love.
500 years later, like, they're still doing Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Right? So in 500 years, are they going to be playing KISS songs? Possibly.
They haven't aged a fucking day.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
No, well, and this is the thing, man. Like, there's nothing wrong with passing on the torch. This is not passing on the torch.
But
they're fucking holding on to that torch and fucking, you know, that's all they want. They don't want to give it up.
Did you go to Crew and Def Leppard?
Most recent one?
Yeah.
No.
Did you go?
Nah.
Did you know anyone that went?
Yeah.
No. Everyone I know that went said Motley Crue were terrible and Def Leppard killed it.
Correct.
I've heard a lot of that too.
Yeah.
But to be honest, even when I saw them, what was it? We were talking about nearly 10 years ago with KISS and Motley Crue.
Mm.
Even there, they were a bit average.
Motley Crue was?
Yeah.
Like, as in they phoned it in? Or just their skills were all over the joint?
You could see it was coming. And now, from what I've heard lately, I've heard that, they're shockers.
Everything I've heard has been Motley Crue was shit. Def Leppard killed it. I saw Def Leppard with you, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And they sounded on point. Like, they nailed it. Like, couldn't sound any better, man. That's the thing. Like, it's not even passing the torch. At some point, the brand has to stop. They've made their squillions.
Yeah, but it's still passing the torch. If you want to call it KISS, call it KISS. If you're going to have four new bands, four new members, and
why is he shaking it off? He's shaking it off involuntarily.
I don't know.
No, he is. I can see
it. But hang on. Your most memorable fucking day was when you got these four KISS dolls and then the album.
Yeah,
and then
how old was I, man?
but hang on a second.
If my mum rocked up now at my house and goes, here, I've got these for you, I'm going to go, oh, yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
But the question is, but hang on. There's still kids and teenagers and fucking young adults going to these concerts and enjoying and loving it. So why can't you try? Like, try a new
just
band.
Try. Please, man. But just try.
No, well, they're trying
just
this.
Try.
Yeah, but hang on. They're trying this avatar thing, and you can tell, like, people are like,
I don't know.
What
if
the
I had
fuck?
To choose of how I would like to digest new versions of stuff like that. I think I'd go along the lines of you touched on it earlier.
I didn't touch anything.
I saw you, mate. When we take something that was iconic, and it's like when you grab a classic album and, oh, it was great, but finally this was touched up on it or whatever, and they get remastered or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's like what you mentioned, Kiss Alive 2. You know, what if they took that and turned it into an enhanced, you know, holographic performance or whatever? I would love that because I'm reliving something that I thought was great, but I'm seeing it in a new light.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Something new, something fresh, right? I like those ideas. Taking something that I enjoyed and giving it a new perspective and, you know,
I don't have a problem with remasters when they release albums with remasters because a lot of times engineering does fuck up. Well, we didn't have the technology
then.
Dude, and Justice for All, Metallica is probably the best perfect example. Dude.
Isn't that nickname And Justice for Jason?
How different does it sound with the bass?
Yeah.
And it sounds sick.
Yeah.
Well, that's how
one,
it should. Yeah.
One sounds completely different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that needed to happen.
Now, we're obviously still sticking to the same conversations, right? Because we obviously, you said what you said a few times.
Yeah.
Now, is this setting a new precedent on...
I reckon it is, whether we like it or not.
Like, I think Eric Prydz, or whatever his name, had this hologram thing yesterday or 2 days ago in Rod Laver.
What did he have?
Like a hologram thing. Like two days ago, in one of the arenas, right?
He did the gig, yeah.
So we got all...
I think I saw some of that on Insta.
Yeah, so that's all coming out. So you got, obviously, Kiss now saying Avatar online or whatever, fucking new era. You got Prydz doing the hologram. I think he's still there. I'm not sure. I think he's still there. Is this setting a precedent now for a lot of people like, man, why am I fucking busting my nut to go to Australia, to go to fucking, you know, to travel fucking 10 hours to go to Australia or other countries when I could just follow the fucking bandwagon and not still get money? I might not charge $350 to go to the front row, but I'll still charge $120 because they want to see me, and it's just going to be a hologram. It's just going to be my voice. It's going to be a hologram in front of you, and I'm still going to make money. And I don't have to do shit.
Yeah, but it all comes down to... You mentioned Eric Prydz at Rod Laver.
Mm.
The difference there was he was still there.
I understand
that. People were still going to see him.
I'm asking.
And I saw the visuals. Basically, you know how we're used to it now where a lot of good concerts have
proper hologram.
Big screens on the stage.
Yeah, standard.
And they've got graphics going on and whatever. Basically, what he did, from what I saw in the Instas, is it's a new version of that. You know, it's just an evolution of that. Instead of having, you know, screens with showing videos, this was now more 3D effects and all of that.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. It's just an evolution of his show versus it's not like he's sending a video of himself, an avatar, where he's staying in Europe.
But now,
you know what I mean? That's what we're trying to compare.
Hang on. Now go back to what this dickhead said.
Yeah.
Man, this came out 2 days ago. What's going to be like in like a year? 2 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, look, like, dude, the hologram is like literally going to be like this, almost.
Yeah.
And they're going to be the same fucking people.
This is something we've overlooked. This is something that we've overlooked completely.
But what I'm just saying now.
Sort of. It's in the vein of what you're saying, right? At Fiddy's show, I was really impressed with the stage show.
Yeah.
Because what they had was something that hip-hop artists are doing, they've been doing it the last, say, maybe 10, 15 years, is traveling with a band. Right? So you're used to
give it a little bit of integrity.
You're used to hip hop beats.
Instead of hearing dun 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 dun.
No. It's a live performance and they get live musicians and it transforms the sound.
So it's more live now than it was.
Yeah, it is. Because in the old days they had a DJ that played the instrumental and he'd scratch and change it up. Yeah. Now they've got a band which is full interaction, right? And I'll be honest, most hip-hop shows that I've gone to that are big scale, like Rod Laver, they're all doing it, yeah? Mm. Tech N9ne at the Northcote, yeah, DJ, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is I was really impressed by all things, but the thing that really got me was the stage show itself. So the set was New York, right? And they had five, like, LED screens, just tall, like, taking up Rod Laver, like, from the stage up to the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Five LEDs. And they constantly flash different visuals on the LEDs. So one was like an apartment brownstone buildings, you know, in the Bronx. Then there was like a shot of Manhattan, you know, as he's doing different songs, they're changing the visuals and all that shit. The reveal of the band, because I could hear the live band. I'm like, where's this fucking band? I can see the DJ. I can't hear where is this band? And then at some point in the first 20 minutes or whatever it was, 30 minutes, they dimmed, like they raised some of the LED screen and it revealed each band member on like in the buildings, within the platform, and then the building in itself. So it looked like they were standing in the buildings that they were playing.
That's production, man. That's production. Yeah, man.
Thinking about it, if Fiddy was replaced by a hologram and the band was replaced by holograms, or even if it was a live band and Fiddy was replaced and it was a hologram, could I get into it? Probably not, because I've grown up seeing the man and seeing the presence and understanding it, right? This is what we're overlooking. We're not going to be around forever. If we've got 20 years of concerts amongst us going forward, at some point, we're going to hang it up as well. Like, Jagger will still be performing, but...
he'll never die.
You know what I mean?
You know like, what, he'll be a fucking robot head it's with his brain.
Andrew's 80th. It's like, should we go? I might go see Jagger, man. He's having a reunion.
I think he's coming
out. Keith Richards agreed to it.
Literally, his brain and a fucking robot still fucking going, man. He's
turning up.
Futurama style.
Yeah, man, exactly it. Yeah. See, I would appreciate that more, fucker.
Yeah. So... we're talking about generation now, right? Do you reckon they're going to be, conditioned to accept...
it's starting, man.
...avatars as a form of entertainment?
We're looking at it, and the way we're speaking now, obviously we've got reservations, don't know, this, that, whatever. But what you're thinking of is, what about the modern kids?
They might be more accepting
of it. Might be more, oh, yeah.
Okay.
And this comes into play now, right?
And this comes into play. So now you're talking about hologram members, right, of 50 Cent, right?
Okay.
50 Cent. Full hologram. How much did you pay?
It wasn't cheap. I was mosh pit.
Mosh pit?
How
much?
Fuck, I'll tell you now.
No, it was ballpark.
A couple hundred bucks, man. $200
right? Now, you say we'll play 50 Cent for you in hologram for $100. Same front row. But $100, you can go there, still see a full production like that in hologram, though. Because what stops them now, because in the future, which is not far away, I reckon... everyone's going to have these stadiums will have hologram fucking sets where you can just like literally plug in play and it'll be them. And that can literally 50 Cent can play in the same night in all fucking countries for $100. Cunts will still go and he'll make a lot more than he makes him going to each fucking country and playing.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean, though? Like $100, even $70, man. $60.
You know, during the
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. You know, obviously, a lot of us experienced, you know, lockdown and that. I remember I paid for some gigs because obviously you want to support bands and stuff and all that, especially modern bands trying to make some money that couldn't tour. So, you know, I actually paid for some, to do the live streams, etc.
Yeah, you're talking about OnlyFans.
No, man. Live streams of live concerts. Live streams.
Oh, yeah. OnlyFans. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. No, babe, it was a concert.
Yeah, yeah.
What's this?
And I'm sticking to my story. Yeah. I did. I paid, but what did I pay for? So, normally if you go... to see this band live, it depending on who they are, obviously, it could be $60, could be $100, could be whatever it is.
But they charge you $20.
Yeah, this was like, I think, $15.
Yeah.
Right? Because...
point proven.
And that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whereas...
but, dude, literally...
it's what are they offering, what it's about, and what are they going to charge you for.
So,
you know what I mean?
All okay, these stadiums...
I can say what I paid for Fiddy as well, by the way.
How much?
Afterpay says I paid $230 or so.
Okay, $230, right?
Worth every cent.
Okay, of course. Sounds awesome, man. You can tell by your voice. But now...
the boner that I'm trying to hide.
Literally, you lifted the table.
Boing.
Yeah. Now, 50 Cent can literally play... so, this is the new technology, the new fucking glass cabinets that hold projections and fucking productions and all this kind of bullshit. Now, 50 Cent can play in every single fucking country in the world on this one particular day, and we're going to lower the price from $230 to $50.